Well, did you see the price of a Bitcoin briefly surpassed $100,000? As the Bitcoin rises, our IQ lowers, as no one says. As the Bitcoin rises, that could be a possibly great or terrible name for a soap opera. But I remember buying Bitcoins years and years ago when they were like $200 each. I was using them for nefarious reasons, but that's a long time ago. But yeah, Bitcoin is basically a currency built on kind of like nothing or an idea. And the Bitcoin bubble will surely bust at some point. The noted financier Warren Buffett once called Bitcoin rat poison squared, which A is an awesome phrase, and B could yet be another cool punk band name from Warren Buffett, no less. But yeah, I trust Buffett's opinion on this one. And if you are interested in investing in Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, well, one share of the Class A stock will only set you back, about $704,000 currently. And that's no joke, one share. You can invest in the Class B share, though, at the more reasonable price of about $460. And yes, some people are lucky, they're in the right place at the right time, or they're just smart. But in general, you know, it always takes money to make money. The rich get richer, and so on. But there is a crazy Bitcoin-related anecdote. Bitcoins used to be worth like pennies. And in 2010, some crypto enthusiast named Laszlo Hanyasz used 10,000 Bitcoins, or roughly $40 at that time, to buy two pizzas from Papa John's. And one of the first purchases made with Bitcoin. And the price of that meal in today's Bitcoin value would be $1 billion. That's some expensive pizzas. So I was talking to my mom the other day, and I think I said I wasn't sleeping well the other night or whatever. And my dear mom was like, I can't remember which, but I heard this podcast where there was a quote from a sleep researcher about people worrying too much about getting the perfect night's sleep. And I was like, yeah, that was my podcast. My mom sometimes does other shit while listening to podcasts, so she doesn't totally remember the details, or sometimes, or just usually, she just flat out falls asleep at some point during a podcast. And we had this recurring joke because there was this kind of cool TV show called Medium with Patricia Arquette as a psychic who aids the police department in solving cases. So anyway, it was a show my mom and I would watch respectively at our homes, and whatever, like a day or two after the last episode, I would call my mom about that episode and be like, damn, wasn't that good? And she would say, yeah. And I would say, man, that ending was awesome. I never suspected that person to be the killer or whatever. And she would be like, oh yeah, I think I fell asleep before that. I'm like, you thought the show was awesome, but you slept before the ending of a whodunit? And I'm sure right about at the part of this podcast is where my mom is actually starting to fall asleep. Ah, my beloved mother, part of me will die whenever she's gone, or possibly all of me will die, to be determined. I had a kind of a busy week at work, so this will be a short episode. I'm sure you won't mind. We can skip the musical intro, why don't we? You are my density, blah, blah, blah. So my sister, the doctor, she's an integrative oncologist. She had to do like a mock video of her interviewing a patient on Zoom. So she asked me if I wanted to play the patient. So I had a little acting experience today. It wasn't pro bono, though. I did have her buy me a supplement. I think she's going to send me some ground up cow testicles. No joke. And anyway, the patient I was supposed to be was some guy that had prostate cancer, speaking of ground-up testicles, and he was on some kind of androgen deprivation therapy and had, like, hot flashes and shit. Luckily, my testosterone and androgens are pretty high. Not that I'm using them much anyway. But I just imagined that I had low testosterone while we did it. And the whole thing went smooth, man. We did it all in one take, and I played it pretty serious. There were so many instances where I could have joked or screwed around, but I figured, let's just nail this thing in one take, and that's what we did. And this is the same sister. Well, I only have one sister, so that makes sense. But the same sister. Hey, did you ever watch that gothic horror movie, Sister, Sister, that I recommended? Go do it. But the same sister that's doing some research on cannabis and psilocybin and stuff. And she'll always be like, hey, what's psilocybin like at that dose? I mean, what do you feel? How would you describe it? And I'm just like, man, you just have to go sit down somewhere, supervised if you need to be, and try it sometime. I know she never will. She's pretty straight-laced, and that's no insult. But I've kind of come to believe that sometimes you have to lose your mind in order to find it, if that makes any sense to y'all. Okay, I came up with a possibly terrible science fiction movie, so it's the future. And in this future, pleasure is frowned upon, and all of humanity is linked to a central mainframe. And we all have this update in our own system that if you masturbate or have sex, you go blind. If you have children, they won't be blind. But if or when they have sex or masturbate, they will go blind. But anyway, it's a society where like 98% of the population is blind. And the film focuses on our leads, a guy and girl couple, maybe in their late 20s. And their total focus is, will we or won't we have sex? Now, once you have had sex, you can continue to have sex, but you'll be blind. So you won't ever be able to see your beloved's face again and vice versa, but you can have sex. A tough choice, maybe for some. I mean, sex is good, but having vision is also pretty goddamn good. And maybe just to spice up the script, our hero is also finding a way to disable the mainframe that controls our existence. Let's call this movie, You're Blinding Me. Okay, Hollywood, take that lousy idea and run with it. Make the check out to Mark D, please. Also, I'm still waiting on that phone call, Mattel. So like I have said, I see so many movies that I've come to view my life as a movie, and as I'm going through my daily life, in my mind, I'm almost seeing the script written as it happens. It's like interior apartment, early morning, Mark wakes up, hesitates, then gets up, takes vitamins, and makes coffee. Exterior apartment, Mark closes the apartment door, briefly exhales, wonders if his life has been a failure, and walks down the steps, and so on. And it's almost like when I see people at work or whatever, when I first see them, their name almost pops up on them like a freeze frame a la the opening credits of a TV show like Three's Company or something. And while I can't control everything in my life, I'm somewhat consciously writing the script as I go through my daily life. It's like, at this point, do I go decide to go talk to a patient or just sit here and work a bit? Or do I go to the bathroom? Or do I walk over to the other unit and go talk to the people over there? If I want a little more excitement, then I'll try to involve more interactions in my life. If I need to chill, I dial back the interactions. And then there are just the stock characters. Oh, there's that girl from the cafeteria that I have the hots for. Or here comes that goofball doctor that never says hi when I say hi. Okay, here he comes. What am I going to do? Oh, fuck it. I'm not saying hi this time. But then wait, what, he said hi? Well, goddammit, that wasn't in the script. But yeah, I can kind of begin scenes or end them generally when I want as the screenwriter. If someone's being dickish or I'm just not interested in what they're saying, then I will find a way to end that scene abruptly. Or if I'm trying to start or elongate a scene with a girl and she kind of keeps the scene very short, well, that's her prerogative. That's her movie, not mine. I don't know. Does any of this make sense? Am I losing it? Have I lost it already? I spend a lot of time thinking, too much time. And I'm usually thinking of, what is this main character me like? He's a little weird, doesn't seem like a bad guy, but he's got some issues, but he seems to be working on it. So let's continue and see what the third act is like. But yeah, let's hope for the best. I read a kind of great quote by the somewhat bizarre French author Michel Houellebecq. He's got worse hair than me, bless his heart, but he was writing about the songs of Neil Young. I mean, I like some Neil Young. I'm not a diehard fan. But anyway, Houellebecq said, Young's songs are made for those who are often unhappy, lonely, approaching the gateways of despair, but who continue to believe that happiness is possible. Man, that just kind of nails how life can be sometimes. So a couple quick notes on the revenge of Mother Earth, and then a related really bad song. So you hear about wildfires happening in Malibu once in a while, the land of millionaires and billionaires. Something about the uncanny alignment of the coastal canyons and the Santa Ana winds make Malibu vulnerable to fires. So I just read about a new trend in Malibu, having your own personal fire hydrant. Some houses have been rebuilt in these previously fire-scorched areas now with a fire hydrant. It's like, you dumb rich son of a bitch, how about learn your lesson, move somewhere else? You may think you're a master of the universe with your millions, but Mother Nature will find a way to get back at all of us at some point. What's that old saying? Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Or as George W. Bush put it in the original saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me. You can't get fooled again. Speaking of Earth's revenge, there was a pretty powerful earthquake the other day in Northern California, kind of centered near Eureka. And there was briefly a tsunami warning. I was walking into my apartment when my phone did one of those alerts. I thought it was maybe like an Amber Alert, when I looked at my phone, it said tsunami warning. And I was like, what? Are you sure? Alas, there was no tsunami. And if you were wondering about the Amber Alert, an alert about a child abduction, it was named in honor of 9-year-old Amber Hagerman, who was kidnapped and murdered in Texas. Rest in peace, Amber. Amber, while named after Amber, also stands for America's Missing Broadcast Emergency Response. And to close the book on tsunamis, years and years ago, my good buddy back in the advertising industry, Charlie, and I would rent a practice space, drink and carouse. Generally, I would play guitar and sing. He would play drums, sometimes vice versa. I would label this era of my life the Vicodin years. But anyway, there had been a pretty massive tsunami somewhere, and I was like, hey, let's write like a goofy tsunami relief song. It's quite bad, but some of the lyrics are okay. It's kind of funny. It's got kind of a Tenacious D flavor, but nowhere near that quality. And I'm too lazy this week to pop on the end song, so when tsunami relief ends, so does this episode. One, two, three, four.
Tsunami, 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 tsunami.
Relief.
Tsunami, 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 tsunami.
Relief.
Tsunami, 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 tsunami.
Relief.
Tsunami, tsunami.
Give me some tsunami relief. She's crying. Stuck in the mud. Parents dying. Who's gonna bring them into this grief? Who's gonna bring tsunami relief? Relief.
Tsunami, 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 tsunami.
Relief.
Tsunami.